From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Audie Cornish. After 3 years, six injured actors, $75 million, and several lawsuits, the most expensive musical in Broadway history is coming to a close. Spider-Man: Turn Off the Dark ends its run this week, faced with declining ticket sales and huge operating costs. I'm a $65 million circus tragedy. With music by Bono and the edge of U2 fame, choreography that included thrilling high-flying acrobatics, and the show directed by Julie Taymor of Lion King fame, this show seemed to have the makings of a mega hit.
Up until the first preview, there was really no evidence that we had anything other than an airtight, surefire hit. The investors, the producers, everybody just said, man, this thing is going to fly.
That's Glenn Berger. He's written a book called Song of Spider-Man, the inside story of the most controversial musical in Broadway history. Berger co-wrote the script for the musical, and he admits that early on, he thought the idea of making this production was a bit ridiculous.
You know, I said in a certain light, it could be construed as possibly ridiculous. I had the image in my head of a supervillain looking over Manhattan and singing. But I knew that the people we were working with, especially Julie Taymor, was going to make sure that this wasn't about singing supervillains, that, you know, that there was something sort of ancient and mythic at the heart of it. And I knew that it ultimately wouldn't be ridiculous, or I was pretty sure that it wouldn't.
So tell us what the basic plot is supposed to be. I know some of us are familiar with the movies or the comic books. How did this go? How was it different?
Well, you know, the first act in particular just followed the origin story. And then meanwhile, there's this sort of patron demigoddess in Peter's life. This is different from the movies. This figure of Arachne, based on the Greek myth, who sort of appears to him in dreams and then winds up becoming sort of a supervillain after she becomes convinced that Peter Parker, as Spider-Man, can deliver her from the shadows where she was banished by Athena millennia ago after she beat Athena in a weaving contest.
This is where Marvel right away is like, get this Arachne thing out of here, right? Like, they're not exactly interested in this.
They weren't quite on board with it early on. You know, there was a lot of back and forth. Marvel finally did approve the presence of Arachne, and we went on to write the script with her on board.
There are some moments in the show in which you describe as being essentially bad choices, maybe, that they didn't quite translate from the page to the stage.
And well, you don't know. It's hard. And, you know, in hindsight, you can say, oh, well, yes, of course. What were you thinking?
But in dissecting the show, did you find moments where you thought, I should have spoke up? Here's the moment where I should have said something.
Well, you know, you could have doubts, but everyone has doubts, you know, from time to time. And, you know, you would just feel silly going to someone and saying, well, clearly, you know, this isn't going to work, because, you know, we all thought it was going to work until we were deep into previews.
And as we mentioned in the in our introduction, numerous actors were injured during that time in the early part of development. Again, is that another moment where anyone said, hey, this isn't working?
Well, not to downplay the accidents at all, but I think it was sort of upplayed in the media. You know, there was one fellow, Brandon Rubendahl, actually I can't remember if it was Brandon or Kevin, who hurt himself first on this one particular maneuver, and then the second fellow was injured in exactly the same way after we thought we had figured out what was wrong. But there did seem to be, you know, an ill wind blowing, you know, when it came to our luck with the accidents.
And we should mention at least one of those actors also has filed a suit, right, against the show as a result.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's right. Josh Toback, who replaced Chris Tierney, who fell 30 feet off of the ramp. No, it was harrowing and awful, and, you know, made everybody just sick with, you know, anxiety and worry for them.
Now, by the time the show opens, critics and theatergoers, it seemed as though they were going there to see if something would go wrong, in a way, right? It was in a very long period of previews. And what was that like for you? I mean, essentially people were like hate watching the show.
Yeah, there was a sort of NASCAR element to it. Although at the same time, you know, you looked at the faces of, you know, the 9-year-old kids watching it. And I know that they weren't thinking that. They were just here to see Spider-Man. But the show did take on, as I wrote in my book, it felt less like a Broadway musical and more like sort of a, you know, an enormous art installation. You know, it felt like a sort of a capital E event was, you know, was taking place in real time, you know, in Times Square.
After writing, you know, a good 350 pages about this experience, what did you come to as maybe the top two or top three reasons why this was so problematic?
Well, I guess I am a glass half full guy because I see all the things that went right too. Amazing number of things went right, and all these things along the way that we thought we had figured out, you know, bullets that we dodged, and still, you know.
But you describe, I mean, things. People have criticized the music, right? And you have The Edge and Bono of U2. You describe the process of kind of getting them to write the songs on time, right, for it to start.
Yeah, well, that's
the technical things.
But just my gosh, you know, the top three, the music for one, the original demos that Bono and Edge turned in were absolutely thrilling. However, they were these little demos that Edge had put together on his, you know, Apple computer GarageBand program, and not really realizing that it would actually be very difficult to translate these songs to an orchestra. You know, and then, you know, we had an ending that was going to culminate with this giant web fight, and then we realized a few days before our first preview that we didn't have the web for the web fight. Suddenly we didn't have an ending. And bringing the intangible into the tangible world, you know, dealing with the stupid world of reality became kind of a drag with this show.
And now what project are you working on? Can we expect to see you on any more Broadway plays?
I'm actually working on one right now. It's an adaptation of a Warner Brothers movie. I can't say much more, but yeah, believe it or not, either I'm crazy or someone else is.
Glenn Berger, he's the author of Song of Spider-Man, the inside story of the most controversial musical in Broadway history. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
You can change your mind, but you cannot change your heart. Your heart knows when you're hiding. Your heart knows where you are. I think myself if I know.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.